Hello, I'm Casey Watson with KidLink Community Services, here to bring you the Foster Care and Adoption Life Talk podcast, where we'll be talking about foster care, the children in foster care, and how you and the community can make a difference. Hey, this is Casey Watson with KidLink. Welcome back to the KidLink Foster Care and Adoption podcast. Today, we have with us some special guests. We have with us Brennan and Corey Washington, and we're going to be having a conversation with them today as we move through the process of becoming a foster parent. We're going to start at the very beginning and hear a little bit about their backgrounds and work through some important information if you have ever considered being a foster parent or helping children in foster care. So welcome, you guys. We're glad you're here.
Thanks for having us. We're excited. I'm glad to be here.
So let's start briefly here in the beginning and tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Corey loves to do this. You want to do this one?
I guess. Okay. In short, we met in college, and Brennan was on the baseball team. I was on the golf team. We met through a mutual friend and teammate of mine. And it was kind of love at first sight. Honestly, Brennan took me on a date, and within a week of dating, he told me that he loved me. And so
I just knew.
Really. And so anyways, we just kind of kept dating and for about a year and a half, and then we got engaged and got married 6-7 months later. We've moved probably, I think, 4 or 5 times within our first 4.5 years of marriage. So it's been an adventure. And as far as fostering, I would say that this has always been a dream of mine. When we were dating in college, it was something we talked about and kind of dreamed about together. And now this year, it's a dream that the Lord is bringing to life for us. So
wonderful. And so you mentioned that you'd lived several places and moved a little bit. I know from talking with you guys and actually training you guys through foster care that was kind of due to Brennan's line of work. Yep. So Brennan, you want to tell us a little bit about that and that journey?
Yeah. So I am I have the amazing opportunity of being a pastor at a church in Hendersonville. And so it was just as Corey and I talked about, just what God was calling us to in this season and thinking about kids and starting a family, the two worlds just kind of collided where it was like, well, maybe God's calling us to be foster parents. And so that's kind of what led to us beginning the journey.
Awesome. Awesome. So I know you guys had said it always been something you'd thought about, you know, something you'd kind of prayed about. So I know the thought just didn't come from the sky. Although it could have.
Right.
But do you have experience? Did you know friends or family members that were either foster parents or someone who'd been in foster care? Like, what was that like? What kind of relationships have you had there?
Yeah, so we have two couple friends that went through the process. Friends of ours in Arkansas went through the process of fostering. They ended up adopting their kids. But they were able to give us a little bit of advice about, you know, what the fostering process looks like as far as the training and different things like that. But their advice was also, you know, you don't know what you don't know, and you're going to learn a lot in the process, and you're going to have some things corrected in the way you think about it through the process. So we asked them some questions. They gave us some good advice, and then we just kind of walked into the journey, you know, with our minds trying to be as open as possible. And it proved to be very necessary. So,
Yeah, absolutely. Because I know working with families all the time that want to be foster parents, they come often with this specific demographic of this is what we want to foster. This is what we're going to accept. And it's been fun to watch as recently as I'm working with a family right now that said, this is what we can do. Our house is small. You know, we're going to start with one child. One child is what we feel like we can do right now, and would really prefer that child to be young. And, you know, as things happened, they got an 8-year-old little boy. He wasn't 2, wasn't 3. And then, you know, recently, you know, now just to be perfectly honest, I was buying bunk beds on Amazon so they could accommodate four kids. So I think an open mind is very important. Not that anyone at KidLink or any other foster agency is going to just demand that you take children, but you guys have said your hearts lead you in certain directions, and you have to be open to that.
Yeah.
All the way down to, you know, just frank talk. Sometimes in class, as we start the journey, we have parents that say, wait, I don't think this is for us. Or not necessarily, this isn't for us, but not now. Yeah. This isn't what we can do now. And so we really get excited when we have people to the point that you guys are, where you've thought about it, you've prayed about it, and you're here, and it's what you want to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have an open mind. So once they expressed to us, contacted us, and said, hey, this is what we think we want to do at KidLink and any other agency to become a foster parent, we start out with an informational meeting. And that meeting is something that is required by the Department of Children's Services. Sorry about that. Department of Children's Services requires that you have this informational meeting. So we conduct that, and I think you guys can think back to that first night where you were thinking, oh gosh, you know, why on earth would this process take so long? I mean, they're going to tell us this stuff at the informational meeting, and we're going to be, gosh, well, how is this possibly going to take 2 or 3 months? Like, what all can they possibly do? But I think you guys learned a lot at that informational meeting. That meeting is where we walk you through all the steps. We're going to do a little bit of that today with how to become a foster parent, and maybe help you with some of your expectations and the things that are ahead that you may not have been aware of, and some of them you might have. So you had that informational meeting that first night, and you that meeting was over with, and most of those meetings are virtual now, of course, because of COVID. So what was that conversation like after that first informational meeting?
Well, I just remember, you know, of course, we're not parents yet. This will be like our first experience with kids ever. So we kind of went into that meeting with expectations of, okay, you know, here's how we're going to parent, here's how we want to, you know, do this and this. And it's kind of funny because you get in that informational meeting and it like totally like deconstructs like everything you thought you were going to do, and it's kind of overwhelming. You know, you're feeling all of the emotions, and then like you kind of get smacked in the face a little bit with, you know, the idea of these kids have been dealing with trauma, and it's really hard. And you start to feel really quickly like, okay, like I'm so unprepared for this. And I just remember for us after that meeting, we knew for a fact that this was not any longer something we just wanted to do. We knew for a fact that this is what God was calling us into. So we were feeling, I know this was something we discussed for sure. We were feeling that we were just overwhelmed and like, how in the world are we going to, you know, do this? But we know that God is going to lead us every step of the way. And, you know, we were ready to learn a lot of new things.
Well, and I think just knowing about your background and your careers is, you know, Brittany, you do work with youth on a daily basis. And I know that, you know, I worked with youth prior to foster care and adoption in a different capacity. And so I remember when I came into it as a career, I'm just curious as you, as a potential foster parent, thinking a little bit of, oh, I know this. I deal with kids all the time. I know this. Like, how hard can this be? So did you have a moment of where, oh gosh, I might not know this?
Yeah, there was, I mean, it happened really quickly. And I think, you know, thinking about the informational meeting, I think the way it's set up is very good too, because it is, you know, you come in, you're excited, you're anticipating, you know, oh, this will happen so quickly and we'll just be able to love on these kids. But the informational meeting is great about giving you information to help you really understand what it is that you're getting into. Because, you know, like you're saying, working with youth, you can get that idea of, okay, I know what to expect. But the whole ball game changes when you think about what most of these kids have gone through, and it just takes a different approach. And I think from the informational meeting and even throughout the course of the training, it didn't take long for both of us to change our way of thinking from, oh, we want to do this for us, to, no, we need to do this for these kids.
And yeah, that's amazing.
It just changed the way we received the training, changed the way we thought about, okay, how are we going to parent? So
yeah, it becomes less about, okay, we're excited about this. What do we want from this? And more about, what can we do to offer these kids the best life that we possibly can? Yeah.
And in your career and the children that you deal with on a daily basis, have you taken any pause, or has it changed anything, your reactions or anything like with things like that?
It has definitely made me consider what is happening in this child's life that I'm not seeing. You know, you see, I deal specifically with teenagers. And so, you know, teenagers sometimes can be as volatile as, you know, any other age. They're figuring out who they are, how to process emotions, just discovering where they fit in the world.
Right.
And sometimes that's expressed in ways that adults look at and like, why are you acting like this? But just going through the training helps inform you to think about this thing has layers to it. And so if I can get an understanding of maybe some of these layers that are happening, maybe the action's easier to have compassion for or redirect or in a healthy way try to help them. So.
Right, and that's a very good explanation of what we say very simply over and over again in class, and you guys probably hear it in your sleep. You know, it's not really what's wrong with you, it's what happened to you,
right,
with these kiddos. Because like you're saying, especially with teenagers, that you can see behaviors and you that's your first reaction, what on earth is wrong with you?
Yeah.
But when you take a step back and wonder what happened to them, it changes your whole perspective.
Yeah.
So you guys went to the informational meeting, you're feeling good, you've kind of discovered your purpose, this is what we're going to do, and you start the modules, which is what we call our 10 Keys training. 10 Keys stands for Knowledge Empowers You, Tennessee Knowledge Empowers You. We used to have a different curriculum, and a few years ago, the department got together with some agencies that specialized in trauma, and they rewrote the curriculum to be more representative of the children we work with. So it's no longer just a course of, okay, this is how you sign them up for school, and this is how you give them medicine, and this is how you, sign them up to play extracurriculars and the rules. It became more of, these are the children you're dealing with, and these are the things they've been through, and let's talk about how we can be a tool in making them healthy. So the dynamic of the class changed. And it's four modules of that before you get to your standard CPR and medical administration training. So in those modules, the first one, of course, I think is daunting to a lot of couples or, single people, whoever, that wants to become a foster parent. When we sit down and we talk about the child welfare system, and we start to go down all of the roads of all the forms and all the paperwork and all the people on the teams and all the family situations and family visits and things like that. So I know that's usually when I get a phone call after that one saying, okay, wait, we're a little overwhelmed. So when you went to that, let's walk through the first module. Okay. And we talked about the child welfare system. So thoughts after that session?
I would say that you're right. We were definitely overwhelmed with the amount of rules, if you will, and, forms that you had to fill out and keep up with. I had a notepad that I had with me that whole class, and I just felt like I couldn't take notes fast enough because I was so afraid that I was going to forget, something that we had to do, for the children. And I think the thing that helped us the most through that was just realizing what a great support system we have through KidLink, and just the amount of people that are willing to kind of stand in that spot with us in the corner for those kids and just help us along the way. We don't have to remember everything. Y'all are always just a phone call away. And those things were really like great security for us, I felt like.
Good. Yeah. What about you, Brennan?
Corey is very administratively gifted. So, and I am not at all. So the paperwork was like, whoa, this may be more paperwork than I've ever done in my life. Yeah. But she was great about, hey, we need to fill this out. KidLink was great about, hey, this is how you answer this question, or this is helpful in that process. But even in the overwhelming feeling of paperwork, when you read through it, you understand this is actually for to make sure the kids have the best match.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, make sure that everybody has a good understanding of, you know, how we're wired, how we think, how we would parent. And so the paperwork, even though I think when most people hear the word paperwork, they're like, ugh.
Yeah.
But it's not just for the sake of paperwork. It's actually helpful in the entire process.
Well, and I think, too, sometimes people think, okay, there's all this paperwork. We're answering all these questions so that they can pick, you know, so that they can make sure that we're the right parents for these kids. We're the right foster parents for these kids.
Yeah.
And they don't really understand that it's twofold, is that, you know, you guys right now don't have children of your own. Many of our foster parents have children of their own, but you guys definitely have a particular lifestyle that you have to live and activities that, you know, you have lots of activities because of your careers. Yep. And so it's important for us to know the families and their dynamic and their belief systems and their, you know, what, how their day works, because we also want to make a good fit for your family.
Yeah.
Because that is, you know, that's so essential in making the whole process work.
Yep. Yeah.
So you're right. There's a daunting amount of paperwork. And it is not only to make sure that the child, you know, is happy in your home, but to make sure that we can make things work with you, with that child in the home. Yeah. So that's why we do that. So then after that informational, and then we have the first kind of, I call it the logistics module of DCS and all of those things, we move into trauma pretty quickly in those last three modules. And that's usually where people, you know, really have some aha moments. We explore the impact of trauma. Let's talk about that for a minute. And like, I think a lot of times for people, it's not just like how trauma affects, but like when trauma can affect children. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I would probably say that module is where my eyes were open the most, because I had this idea in my head that, oh, there's a certain age where trauma can affect a kid over the course of time. And then there's a certain age where they will, and this isn't videoed, so you can't see my air quotes, but not remember what happened.
Right.
And going through that, hearing some of the stories, the training, the video, understanding that is just entirely false. It could not be further from the truth. And trauma does have a way of affecting kids of every age,
right?
In different ways. And so knowing that on the front end was really helpful in thinking through, like you were talking about, you know, our lifestyle. What about our lifestyle would be detrimental to a child dealing with trauma.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine if we had kids right now and thinking about how that dynamic may need to change, and how, you know, you parent your bio kids and things of that nature. So yeah, that module was probably the most helpful for me personally.
And you're right, that is one, it focuses on change kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed that module too, because Brennan's right. You know, you don't realize that it's all ages that can have trauma and various forms of trauma. And for us, you know, the Lord has been such a rock for us throughout this whole process. And the Lord has given us really cool revelations throughout all of those classes too. And for that one, you know, I think of the verse in the Bible that talks about the Lord came for the sick, you know, not the healthy. And so that's what we're here for. You know, we're not trying to get, you know, these perfect children. And I think a lot of people, for us, you know, we've dealt with infertility. It's a really big part of our story. And so we went into this, you know, just desperate to like love children. You know, we're so excited to have kids. And I think a lot of people are maybe in our shoes, or, you know, maybe not, and just want children. And, you know, you have this idea of like, okay, like I'm going to get them from when they're a baby, and then we're going to go through all the perfect stages. And life is just not that way. It's messy and complicated. And there's a lot of trauma for, you know, these kids, and even kids that aren't in the foster care system. And so learning to walk through this process with kind of in the way that we feel like Jesus would has just been really special for us. So
yeah, that's awesome. And you're exactly right. I mean, these kiddos, it always amazes me when when the reason people don't foster is because, you know, granted, there's 100 reasons people, thousands of reasons people don't foster. It's not for everyone. We know that. We don't expect that. But when their main reason is, well, there might be something wrong with these kiddos, you know, and my question always is, there could always be something wrong with your, you know, your own children, you right. know? So, I mean, that's something that's not in our hands.
Right.
And so I think that that's so important when you accept that and embrace that, because I think that once you do that and, you know, then you can start, which how we move into next in our class is when we start to talk about resilience for these kids. Mm-hmm. That's a big word that we use, resilience. And we talk about how, when we're talking with these kids, you know, you may have that 5-year-old that's, you know, slamming doors and throwing things and throwing temper tantrums. And you sit in a meeting and they say, well, tell us some strengths that they have. And, you know, in your head, you might be thinking, well, so far they've, you know, torn up my bathroom and ripped my mirror off the wall. But, you know, the strength is, you know, they kept going. They woke up the next morning.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that that's important when we move from that trauma to that resilience, to talk about that. So we talked about the trauma and how it affects children, and then we moved to resilience and how that, you know, works, and how you can walk alongside them and build that bridge, not just for the children, but even for their families that they're coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we talk about kind of rerouting that trauma, which is really kind of the meat and potatoes there at the end, where we talk about, okay, you know, we have these children, they have had traumatic experiences. We're going to try to build resilience within the family units and the team. And then, you know, we're going to have to reroute those trauma behaviors, kind of the, okay, we're getting through this. How can we prevent this from yeah. happening again? So anybody, you got, either one of you have any thoughts on when we talked about trauma and like how to reroute that, or?
Yeah, I love the rerouting portion. And when I think about just that module specifically, there's a visual that's shown with a video, but it's basically this concept of a child needs two things in that journey to build resilience. They need to first know that I, as the parent, am a safe space for them. They are safe when they are with me. You know, whatever it is that they're feeling or struggling with or feel like they're failing at, I am a safe space to come back to and unpack that if needed. But the second thing is, I'm also going to redirect and send them back out.
Right.
So that cycle or that circle was really cool to think about, of, you know, constantly being that loving person that says, hey, I receive you in your mess. But I also love you enough to send you back out so that, because that's how you grow, and send you back out to try again. So, yeah.
Right. And I always think about, when we talk about that circle of resiliency, I always, and I don't know why this image comes to my mind, but I always imagine learning to ride a bicycle. How, you know, they can't get on the bicycle at all. It's just too much to even think about. They're not big enough. They're not strong enough. And they get on the bicycle and they have training wheels on the bicycle. Yep. And you're holding on to them and you're walking with them on the bicycle. And then they get to the point where, you know, you step away and they just have the training wheels. And then the next step is, of course, taking off the training wheels, but you can still see them. You know, it's don't only go around the block, only go where I can see you. And then until finally, you know, that process comes to fruition and they can take off on their bicycle. And I kind of always think about that resiliency circle like that.
Yeah. I'm a big sports guy too. So maybe somebody's listening that's a sports guy and can, you know, get this illustration. But I equate it to the aspect of, you know, working with your team or working with a specific athlete, and you're drilling this, you know, whether it's a game plan or it's a fundamental or something. And then after you practice that, there comes a time in which the game is on. Mm-hmm. And a lot of coaches, a lot of athletes always say this line that is, you know, when the game is on, it's too late to prepare. So whatever you did in your preparation, you just got to live with that in the game. But even after the game, there's a moment where you watch film, you play the tape, mm-hmm. you coach, you correct. In football, you have a halftime to do that. And so there's that cycle there too, that I think, even thinking about parenting, and foster parenting, is that idea of, okay, I'm going to try to instill this in a child, send them out, whether that's into you know, elementary school, whether that's in the daycare, whether that's into middle or high school.
Yeah, or even just to interject here, even back into their previous environments.
Right. Yeah. Right. And you know, whenever, you know, you get that opportunity again to just unpack that, you know, I think that's critical in growing and building resiliency.
And you guys said something when you're talking about being a safe space with you guys in class that I remember that you were talking about, you know, in the world of foster, how, you know, it can go several ways. They, you know, ultimately our goal always is to return to their families, and that will happen some. Sometimes the road goes all the way through to adoption, and that's an opportunity. But I remember asking you guys specifically, I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, about how you felt about that. Your window of time you might have with the children and kind of your outlook on that. Do you guys remember what you said by chance?
I think I do. Corey, do you remember?
Let's see.
Okay. I'm probably going to paraphrase what I said, but I think the biggest thing for us that we wrestled with was this idea of attachment and feeling all of this love and compassion for these kids. And even though we're pro reunification with family, it still could feel like a loss. Mm-hmm. Of, you know, that child is leaving from your house. But I think the more that we've thought about it, and I may be completely missing what I said in the moment.
If you are, I'll let you know. Okay.
But I think the biggest thing as we've thought and prayed about it is that's kind of the essence of life, is the capacity to love. And, you know, you can't love requires you to be able to jump all in. Mm-hmm. Whatever pain, sorrow comes, you can't fully and completely love something unless you're putting the possibility of being disappointed on the table.
So. Right. And that's exactly where I was going with that. I remember you saying all of those things. And the thing you said at the end, which you didn't say just now, was about you having that small window of time and there was an unknown.
Yep.
But during that window of time, do you remember what you said you were going to do?
Love and care for.
Yes. That's it. Yes. And just use that opportunity. You know, you guys both expressed to me that forever how long the season was, and whatever happened, that you had that moment with those children to hopefully make an impact.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't just stop whenever, you know, they do go back to their biological family. Like, they don't just stop being a part of your heart. Like, you still get to continue to love them. And I do remember one thing that we said then and talk about frequently is that, you know, ultimately, these are all God's children. And that is probably one of their greatest privileges for us, is that we get to love them. And, you know, like God loves us, you know, even though we're not in heaven with him right now, you know, that doesn't make us not a part of his family. And so that's something that we kind of hold close to our hearts through all of this too.
Yes, absolutely. That's perfect. That's exactly, you remembered. I'm so happy. Sorry,
you.
I put you on the
Thank
spot.
You.
So you guys have finished all the deep trauma stuff. You guys have finished your just the basic CPR med administration. Like I said, we're literally waiting right now to get your approval letter back. So just kind of tell us a little bit quickly, how are you feeling? Like, knowing that, you know, very soon you can have children in your home.
Gosh.
Real talk.
I am honestly right now just tearing up thinking about it. This whole like last week and a half, like every day, I feel like a child at Christmas again. You know, you just can't sleep because you're so excited and just all the feelings. And that's, I know for both of us, you know, that's what we're feeling. We're just excited. I keep picturing the first moment, you know, that we'll see them and just like hugging them, and, you know, they may not want to hug us, but we're excited to hug them. But that, and also just, you know, a little bit scared. I mean, I think any new parent, you know, whether you're about to give birth to a child or adopting or fostering, I think anyone would be a little bit nervous because it's uncharted territory for you. You know, you've never done it before. So I speak for both of us when I say we're just feeling all the emotions, but
yeah,
we're mostly really excited.
Yeah, people have asked me, especially in the last few weeks, like, are you ready to be a dad? And I made a decision early on that my answer was going to be, no, I'm not, because I don't know what I don't know.
Right.
You know, even as, you know, we're sitting here now, and I think it was this past Sunday where we knew, hey, we're about 24 to 48 hours away from, like, being done with all of our stuff. It really began to set in for me of, like, well, how are we going to, like, parent?
Yeah, we were like, we need to have these conversations, like, ASAP. Yeah.
You know, I feel really equipped now because of KidLink to deal with trauma. Yeah. But as far as, like, being a decent dad, it's like, well, where was the training on that?
Yeah, we say that a lot. I know that a lot of times don't even think about that. And, you know, we place kids or whatever, and they call, and they're like, what do we do? Like, they said their head hurts, you know? Yeah. You know, my first reaction is, well, you know, this is what, you know what to do when you're getting, I'm like, wait, this is their first time. They're new moms. And they're not only are they new moms or dads, like, new period, they're like new moms or dads with 8-year-olds, like, all of a sudden, you know? So,
well, because we passed med management with flying colors, we could tell them that they need to call the child's doctor.
Yeah. So as we close here, I don't want to be remiss and not mention this, because this is probably another very important part. And I only mention this, Brennan, because your church partners with us some, and we do things with you guys. But part of what we like to do at KidLink is when we have you parents like you that take children and, you know, and parent them, and we try to provide ways for you guys to get the support you need. And, you know, one of the biggest ways that we do that is through churches, because if you really think about it, compassion and commitment are already part of a church body.
Right.
And so when we can take, you know, people who already have that in their hearts and in their, you know, ingrained in them, and marry that with foster care, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. So some of the ways that churches help sometimes, or, you know, we even have churches that babysit. They'll set up a, you know, hey, you know, this night of the month, we're going to do babysitting. Yep. for foster kiddos. Or, you know, sometimes we have, and I'm sure you guys will experience this in your church community, you know, we're getting foster children, and, you know, people don't think there's meal trains that need to be set up for, because you're new parents. Yep. You know. Clothing, I know, Corey, your church has already pretty much got you guys set up for, you know, ages 0 to 18, I think.
Yeah. And, pretty prepared.
You know, and, you know, there may be other people, you guys, you know, even in your church, will be able to mentor other foster parents. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then just number one is, you know, churches are used, you know, for prayer for these kids and these families and things that they're going through. Yeah, so sure. That's kind of the service ways. And then all the way down to, you know, just bare bones is with COVID and us being remote, you know, we all work remotely. It's just providing facilities. Hey, you know, come use our church tonight for that informational meeting.
Yeah.
Come use our church. You know, oh, you want to train foster parents, you know, and it's that time for their training. You know, here's our building, you know.
Right.
So can you just kind of talk a little bit about that, about the importance of that? And
yeah, I think our church is really unique, because maybe not unique, but I love it because we have several families that went through the fostering process, have foster kids now, and like several foster kids. And so our church community has been great in not only just seeing the need, but sharing the need with other people. And when I think about, you know, what the church can do for foster care, you know, everybody quotes James 1:27, which is basically James's call to the early believers to make sure that they care for the orphans. And what he's saying there is the same thing that Jesus said, is that, you know, I want to make sure that you care for the least of these, care for those that are the most vulnerable. And just this idea of marrying the fact that, we're described as spiritual orphans, and mm-hmm. we had a perfect father that desired to have a relationship with the fatherless, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then what it would look like for the church to then and turn around and be that for the least of these, the most vulnerable in our community, which, you know, the Bible describes as the orphans and the widows. But right. Just I think the church getting into the ball game with this could not only just change a community, it could change foster care in America.
Yes.
Because what a great way to do, as James said, to put your faith to the works, not just be a hearer of the word, and get in the ball game with opening up your home that God's blessed you with to kids that don't have a home.
Right, right. Absolutely. I don't think I could have said that any better. And, you know, so, you know, that I guess would be one of our ask at KidLink, you know, right now, is that if you are the leader of a church, if you're heavily involved in a church, and, you know, it's on your heart to do something for foster care, it doesn't have to be a foster parent.
Right.
You don't have to be a foster parent. There's a lot of ways you can serve. And at KidLink, we would love to come and talk to you about those ways.
Yeah.
So I really want to thank you guys for being on here. Yeah. I would love to invite you back after you've been foster parents for a while and kind of get an update on how things are going.
For
any
sure.
Yeah. Any new viewpoints?
Yeah, you may not want to publish this just yet.
So, and if anybody else listening would like more information on foster care, I certainly want to talk to you. You could reach us at KidLink at 877-714-1313, or you can always go to kidlinkservices.com, which is our website. There's an inquiry form there you can complete, and I will get back to you very quickly, because I would love to talk to you about this journey and any questions you might have. So thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, and thank you guys for listening, and we look forward to listening. Or
land the plane.
Yeah. And thank you guys for listening, and we look forward to another podcast next week. Thank you for listening to this episode of KidLink Foster Care and Adoption Life Talk, where we focus on linking kids and families to hope, healing, and trust. If you're interested in becoming a foster parent or learning more about KidLink, visit our website at kidlinkservices.com.